Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. It is a thing to be marveled at. And yet the Lord Jesus says that nevertheless it isn't the marveling that should grab us. It is a thing to be marveled at that people will rise from the graves when they're very dead and been dead a long time. But the Lord says, do not even marvel at this, that it is my voice that they will hear and that will make them rise from the dead. Now, the verses that we read from this chapter, from chapter 17 on, are all spoken as arising out of the opposition to the Lord Jesus, who naturally enough, it would seem, spiritually enough, knowing that he was the Son of the Father, spoke of himself in quite an ordinary natural way as being the Son of that Father. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. So not only did the Jews seek to kill him because he'd broken the Sabbath, as they thought, but also because he said God was his Father, making himself equal with God. And the Lord Jesus goes on to elaborate concerning his sonship, that he is fully God, that though he is among them as a man, the Son of Man, nevertheless, he says, the Son can do nothing of himself, but I am the Son, but what he sees the Father do, meaning God, but he is my Father. What things soever he does, doeth the Son likewise. And despite your opposition, the Father loveth me, the Son, and shows me all the things that he's doing, and I understand them. And as the Father has life in himself, and as the Father raises the dead, so he has given me life in myself and power to raise the dead, in order that all men should honour me, the Lord Jesus, as the Son, even as they honour the Father. So that among those religions that honour God as God, yet if they do not honour the Lord Jesus as Son, yet they are not honouring God. The Father judgeth no man, but he has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. But it's not a real honour. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father, which hath sent him. When I talk about explosive words suddenly, when you think of that verse 23, every religion that says there is God but does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Saviour is disqualified by that very word. The word of authority of Jesus, who knows his Father, who has come from heaven. That all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father that sent him. And still speaking about the honour that has been committed to the Son, still speaking of himself as the Son of the Father who is God. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. And then he makes this tremendous distinction. First of all, he's going to talk about spiritual resurrection, and then he's going to talk about physical resurrection, but all vested in himself. See, this is the thing that the Jews didn't grasp. They believed the Messiah was coming, but they didn't believe Jesus was that Messiah. Their hostility was to Jesus, Notwithstanding the fact that he did wonderful miracles, notwithstanding the fact that the Father glorified the Son, they hated and could not accept the fact that he was the one. They were bound to ask the question, well, if he's not the one, would they not react in the same way when the next one came along, if there was to be another? But no, that would be different. Verily I say unto you, he said, truly, listen, verily. The hour is coming, and it's actually come, because it's vested in me. The hour is coming, and it's here, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God. I am that Son. And those who are spiritually dead are able to be awakened, except by the spirit of regeneration, the seed of the gospel. Those that are dead in trespasses and sins, the hour is now here when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. He's saying to the Jews of that day, those who hear me and who believe me, as Zacchaeus did, as Nicodemus came to do, and as others did, they shall live. They'll have a new life within me. As the Father hath life in himself, so he hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. The life that Jesus imparts to others. And he's also given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Judgment day will be presided over by the Lord Jesus Christ. I came not to judge the world, said Jesus. Men judge themselves by what they do. But I will be the presiding judge. Then, having said, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, meaning people shall be raised again into belief out of the deadness of their hearts. He now says, without the words, and now is, not the hour is coming and now is, but in verse 28, the hour is coming, but it's not yet come. The hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now Jesus makes this tremendous claim. He stands before them and they object. But he says, I actually am the Son of God. I am unique. I have power to raise those who are dead in their thinking, and I have power to raise people out of the grave. No one else can do it. No other person ever going to live is in this situation. That is how I present myself to you. And Christians, of course, are those who are committed to Jesus being who he says he is. That he is the way, the truth, and the life. If he isn't, if he's lying about all this, then of course our cause is lost. Our personal condition is lost. We are of all men the most miserable. But if we're not to stake our faith on the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall we stake our faith on? Who's ever equaled his ability to teach? Who's ever equaled his knowledge? Who's ever come from heaven and returned to heaven? If not him, who? Now we take Jesus at his word. And here he is very publicly, and in a hostile situation, declaring what the Father, the authority that the Father has vested in him. And it is explosive, as I was saying this morning about another thing, that he has all authority on judgment day. And before that, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. He spoke to the wind and the waves. And these inanimate things heard him and obeyed him. In a way, they recognized his authority. If you cannot say of such an inanimate thing that they recognize the voice that created them, then you say that the power of the word of Christ bound them. But either way, you say that his word has power. And now he is claiming this for himself as the one thing that will determine the destiny of men and women. These Jewish people, especially the Jewish doctors that were ahead of, in front of him, but all mankind subsequently. Now, he says, do not marvel at this, as if it was a wonderful thing that Christ would raise the dead. Do not wonder at the fact of resurrection from the dead. Jesus here takes it for granted that the dead are going to rise, that there is a life after this life. I mean, we have to satisfy ourselves in our mind in this. This is one of the things that people say, oh, I don't believe there's a life after this life. I don't believe there's a life after death. And the Bible counteracts that thinking. By nature, in the old Adam, that is what we believe, that there is no life after death. We act with the things that we do that we know are contrary to God, if there is a God, but we act in a way that assumes there is no God. For if we took God seriously, we wouldn't take the risk that we take with the punishment that's set before us. But he says, don't marvel at this. It's not a thing to be marveled at. You may expect it. You may confidently live in the hope of it. You may confidently live in the expectation of it, that the hour is coming when all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Now, it hasn't happened yet. Certainly, the first thing has happened. The hour is coming, and now it is when the dead hear the voice of the Son of God. Those who are dead are still being saved every day of the week, every Lord's Day, throughout the world. Those who were dead in trespasses and sins are raised into newness of life. That is happening constantly. But those that are in the graves hearing his voice has not yet happened in the way. Now, what did happen? On the day that Jesus rose from the dead, there was a token of this, do you remember? I read it to you from Matthew 27, verses 52 and 53. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. There has been just a little token that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and the resurrection of his people all belong together. But broadly speaking, it's not happened yet, and even those that were raised in those days, and as Lazarus, shall be raised again. The hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. When we are in our graves, or when our dust sleeps, according to the manner of our burial, everyone who's ever lived will hear the voice of Jesus, the Son of God. It'll be the voice that proclaims the Lord's return, the voice of the archangel, but the trumpet voice of Christ will awaken the dead. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Those who had no religion, those who were very anti-God, those who were heathen, those who were murderers, whatever the situation, all which are in the graves shall hear his voice. So there is a life to come. And that life of our bodies shall be brought into being by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we are talking bodies here, and the reuniting of bodies with songs. We know from the thief on the cross that today thou shalt be with me in paradise, says the Lord Jesus. That those who have been born again, that they themselves, having been born again, when they die, their spirits are separated from their body. And their spirits do not sleep. Their spirits are always worshipping God. That's why I read you the passage from 2 Corinthians 5. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But there will be a bodily resurrection. And our bodies shall once again enwrap our souls. And our bodies this time will be perfect. And our bodies will not drag our souls down by their decay and by their pain and all the other things that are there. But we're talking here about the resurrection from the dead at the last time. The proof that there is to be a life for all after death. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. It's a tremendous thing to try and envisage, isn't it? The coming forth from the graves of all that have heard the voice of the Lord, which is without exception everybody. No matter what state of decay, no matter whether they were drowned in the seas and never recovered, all shall hear the voice of the Lord Jesus and recognize that voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, quite apart from the fact of what Jesus is talking about, what a tremendous slap in the face it was for those Pharisees there. All the dead will recognize Jesus, but they, while alive, have not, though they will when dead. But they shall come forth. The Lord Jesus will give them the power to come forth. And their spirits, long held in prison, shall rejoin their bodies for hell, for that day of judgment, and for their ultimate destination. All that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That word damnation is an English word. It's always translated in the Bible condemnation, but when it refers to the eternal condemnation of God upon our souls, it is always rendered in English damnation. So Jesus here, who knows about these things, who came from heaven, he says that there is a resurrection of two sorts. There is a resurrection for those who've done good, unto the resurrection of life, and the resurrection of those that have done evil, unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, remember what I said to you about damnation? It is the same word in the original language as in verse 30, the word judgment. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. If I render damnation, then it's just. And they that have done evil unto the resurrection of judgment, if you like, but the word is the same in both instances. Now, that Jesus himself speaks in this way is something that should not really surprise us, because he has spoken this way before. Let me read to you. Do you remember they came to him one day, the Sadducees, this is in Matthew 22, and they say that there is no resurrection. Do you remember? And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, and they're going to tell this fairy tale story, the whole idea of its fabrication being to debunk the idea of resurrection. It's all made up, it's all theory, but has just a touch upon the scriptures. The Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection, asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and raise up seed unto his brother. Now, there were with us 7 brethren, and the first, when he married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the 7th. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, we need to debunk the whole idea, you see, whose wife shall she be of the 7, for they all had her? Jesus' answer was withering. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. You have made a fundamental mistake in your reasoning, based upon a fundamental misunderstanding, willful misunderstanding of the scriptures. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures. Now, all right, if he said that to us, we'd acknowledge that perhaps there are bits of the scriptures we don't know so well. But these were men who were experts in the scriptures. And when Jesus says to them they don't know the scriptures, he says their interpretation is utterly wrong. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Now, if you say there's no resurrection, why do you say there's no resurrection? Because you can't see that once a person has died, he can come alive again. Because you can't believe that, as in Ezekiel, there could be a resurrection of dead bones and things. So you do not know the power of God. You do err, he says. Not knowing the scriptures. Not knowing the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. However, he says, concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read? Remember, he always says that. To the ignorant crowds who were dependent upon the teachings of others and who couldn't necessarily read themselves, he would always say, have you not heard? But to the scholars, to the leaders, have you not read? The implication is that, of course, they'd read it. And they'd just been blinded to the truth of it, or didn't want to see the truth of it. And it reminds us of the danger of reading the scriptures and judging the scriptures by what we want rather than listening to what it says. Have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God? Spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. The scripture doesn't mean that he was the God of Abraham when Abraham was alive, and the God of Isaac when Isaac was alive, and the God of Jacob when Jacob was alive. He means that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob are alive now, because he is their God, and he is living. They were astonished. And the Pharisees and Sadducees were put to silence. Let me read it to you also from Luke, because you need to hear the full force of the power of the word of the Lord Jesus here. Recorded slightly differently. In Luke 20, verse 27, there came to him certain of the Sadducees, which deny that there is any resurrection. We're told in Acts that the Sadducees deny that there is resurrection, body or spirit, but that's not mentioned here. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if any man's brother die having a wife, and he die without children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. There were therefore 7 brethren. The first took a wife and died without children. And the second took her to wife and he died childless. And the third took her, and in like manner the seven also. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife of them is she? For seven had her to wife. Now, the meaning of the Lord Jesus is the same in his answer here, but the words recorded are somewhat different. He probably said both on the occasion. It's probably the same occasion. Jesus answering said unto them, the children of this world marry and are given in marriage, but they which shall be accounted worthy, new expression, they which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead, that is to say, though there is a resurrection of the just and the unjust, though there is a resurrection of the one unto life and the one unto damnation, the second resurrection is not deemed to be called worthy of life or worthy of a resurrection. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the resurrection from the dead. But actually the Greek allows another way of looking at this. There's a word in the word resurrection here in verse 35 that doesn't occur anywhere else. And if I translate it like this, you'll get the point. They which shall be accounted worthy to obtain that world and the out resurrection from the number of the dead. It's a double compound. The out resurrection. That is to say, given that all die, out of these, there will be some raised to a special resurrection, given that all are raised. The accounted worthy to obtain that world and the out resurrection from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, neither can they die anymore. Different expression here. For they are equal unto the angels. The other was like to the angels. And the children of God, they're called. These are the children of God. Not all of us. These are the children of God. Being the children of the resurrection. This is the definition of a child of God. That he is a child of the resurrection. Now that the dead are raised, even Moses showed at the bush when he calleth the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. For he is not a God of the dead, but of the living. For all live unto him. There is no doubt that Jesus knew that there were to be two resurrections. And the resurrection all turned upon the faith and belief and trust that disciples had in the Lord Jesus. If you do not believe in the Lord Jesus, then the resurrection was a resurrection of the unjust. The resurrection of those who've done evil. Because we've all done evil. Unless our sins are covered, then we're still in Adam. If our sins are not covered, then it's the resurrection of the unjust. It's the resurrection of those who've done evil. We've all done evil and our sins are not covered. But if they are covered, and only the Lord Jesus can cover them by his atoning blood shed on Calvary. So it's all vested in the Lord Jesus. Marvel not at this. For the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice and shall come forth. Nothing can be more vigorous. Even though we're buried, we shall come forth out of the graves at the last time. Our bodies shall rise from the dead. Our souls will come with Christ. And those who are not believers, their bodies and their souls shall be reunited also, possibly just a little after, one doesn't say. But they shall, all that are in the graves, shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. So all are raised, either to face life or to face damnation. Either to face the Father saying, well done, my servant, inherit that which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Or, depart into the hell that is prepared for you. I finish. just with another short reference, what Jesus understood about that resurrection. And it's in Luke 14 and verse 14. It's quite interesting. Jesus said to those who bade him to the meal, "When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy rich neighbours, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when thou makest a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind." Verse 14, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee," that is, pay thee back, "for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." Only at the resurrection of the just. If you're not raised to the resurrection of the just, then there is no recompense. But clearly here, Jesus is saying, never mind. Make the feast for those who can't afford to pay you back. It doesn't matter. The great payback is the resurrection of the just. The great recompense, the great making of everything right again, is then. "He that believeth not," says the Lord Jesus, Mark 16:16, "shall be damned." These are very, very important matters. It's no light thing to believe that there's a life after this life. Many people find it too much to say, "Hold on. We perhaps might have done ourselves, but we trust the Lord who knows about these things implicitly." And therefore, there is a challenge upon us. Do we believe his words? And if we believe his words, what a wonderful future of souls taken to be with him when we die, no sleep in between, and then our bodies raised from the dust at his return in that greatest of all days when every Christian of all time shall be gathered together and come with him in the clouds and return to the earth. May the Lord give us an understanding and a joy in these things. Amen.